If the environment being unhealthy causes a cell to adapt abnormally, then it begs that if we change the environment to be healthy, then the cell will adapt to be healthy.
Welcome to the True Health Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lonnie Bagwell, stress, inflammation, and functional health clinician.
And I'm your co-host, Bridget Spurgeon, metabolism and nutrition expert.
This podcast is where we bring hope, truth, and inspiration for your holistic health journey.
Because the world needs the best version of you.
Welcome to the True Health Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lonnie Bagwell, here with the...
Bridget Spurgeon.
Bridget Spurgeon. And today we're going to talk about a sobering topic, a topic that that has impacted every single listener. Without even knowing you, we know that you've been impacted by this. We've been deeply impacted by this topic, and it is the theme of everything that we're doing at the time of this recording in and through the office this month. And today we're going to be talking about cancer. So the big scary C word, as it's been perpetuated, at least here in the United States. And so so we're going to talk about cancer, something that, again, that's impacted us either in our personal lives, but also has impacted me deeply in my professional life and career over 16 years, you know, because of, you know, walking with so many patients through it. And even as we were talking beforehand, we were talking a little bit, reminiscing about our mentor when it came to cancer, Dr. Charles Majors. And so the biggest thing for me, though, is having gone through cancer over a period of several decades with my dad. You know, he had originally skin cancer, then it was thyroid cancer, and then ultimately was given a diagnosis of a terminal blood cancer. And in the end, as far as cancer goes, it's a pretty amazing story of how he turned a lot of his health around over the years. And he could have left. He passed away last November, but he could have really passed away a lot sooner had he not done things right. And I would say he lived maybe 10 years past, you know, what he would have had he not turned things around. But the idea here and with today's topic is that it wasn't the cancer that killed him. It wasn't in the end, it wasn't actually the cancer at all. Like the things that he had done and things that had changed, he learned some of the principles that we're going to share today, ultimately, you know, allowing him to have better command over his body and how it was responding to its environment and therefore ultimately shutting down a lot of those cancer cells. So, I have been impacted and I'm absolutely blessed to have been able to walk through probably now 50 to 60 more intensive walks with patients. It's not thousands, it's not hundreds, but it's 50 that mattered, walks with patients who were recovered from maybe their first, second, or even their third cancers. And ultimately just being a support. What if for whatever reason, God continues to bring those patients into my life and, they hold a special place in my heart. And so, and I'm impacted by every one of them, and the outcomes have been extraordinary. When we help people understand what cancer is, that's my most favorite thing to talk about. Really with any topic, but especially cancer, because it's so scary and ominous, you know, it's unknown, but it's really not. It's really well known. And most of the, almost all the cancer cases, it's just, we have to line up our actions with what we actually know and not just submit all of our actions to, you know, to the cancer industry or, you know, historical standardized way of approaching it. So, and it's been amazing. And Dr. Majors, who I had mentioned briefly, you know, he was a mentor of mine and he, actually was diagnosed with cancer. And I won't tell his story for him. You can check it out online, but he against all odds, you know, was able to not only survive, but thrive and then impact tens of thousands of people around the world that had cancer and impact us clinicians who were able then to carry on that ripple effect and impact lives of those that we encountered who had been diagnosed with cancer as well. And so grateful for him. And it's nothing I ever asked for, but because my dad had one of his cancers at that time that Dr. Majors was helping me with, it just kind of became almost like a ministry of the office and everything. So today's topic for me, and Bridget, you can share her in a second, you know, with you is really, it's an honoring. Every time I talk about it, I feel like I'm honoring, you know, the call is what it feels like. And I don't understand it. I don't, you know, again, it's not something I didn't go to school for cancer. I did, you know, I'm not an oncologist. I didn't ask for it. I didn't deeply study it out of a desire to know more about it. I feel like it's just something that keeps coming back into my life. And Thereby, I feel very honored, you know, to be able to talk about it and share the stories that we've, you know, of overcoming and victory when it comes to cancer, and really just try to keep things super simple for people in a time when cancer usually comes with lots of overwhelm. And so I think that's one of the greatest assets of how we approach it. But of course, again, as a disclaimer, as always, we don't treat cancer. It's not my scope of practice. It's not, again, I've never even asked to work with anything with cancer. But what we are really good at is helping the body get as close to the way it was created to be as possible, given its environment and its current state. And it happens that with cancer, that is really one of the best, most foundational things that you can do. So with that said, Bridget, kind of, I guess, share with our listeners how you've been impacted by cancer.
Yeah, you know, Charlie Majors being such an inspiration and mentor, and, you know, reading his book, Cancer Killers, I'm so thankful for the education that I received through him, because it gave me that foundational mindset that we all need to be cancer killers, because cancer does not discriminate. And I'm sure all of us can attest to that, because you know, I was just telling Dr. Bagwell, two people that I know passed away of cancer literally within the last week, one of which being a, what we would look at maybe a stereotypical unhealthy person, and the other one, the complete opposite, athlete, healthy. And each of them, you know, in my opinion, young, we're seeing a lot of people pass of cancer in their, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. And in my opinion, 60, 65, 67, those were the ages where my parents passed away. That's too young. There's still a lot of life left to live. So I'm so grateful for the education that I've received, and having that as a foundation, it helped me support my aunt and mother who passed away 2 years apart of cancer. And I was able to support them with nutrition. And I did see my aunt was diagnosed with lung cancer, which then went to the brain. And so she passed of brain cancer. And my mother, she was actually, by the time she was diagnosed, it was stage 4. And I, Dr. Bagwell, you remember when I found that out, I guess we didn't even officially know it was cancer yet, but we'd looked at some blood work and I think that we knew. And I looked at you and I said, I think I need to hop on a plane right now. And you said, I think you do, go, like book your flight and go. And when I saw my mom, it didn't look like she had a week left to live. And it was really actually cool seeing the power of nutrition and, you know, some herbal remedies. And she, you know, she opted to do the complete, like, holistic approach, because it was actually even too late for anything else. And she got 3 more months. So she got a month with her kid, like all of her kids. So that was pretty amazing. So that's my story.
I love it. And I think that how does someone come to the conclusion that they would do natural things? Well, one thing that I've always said is that there should never be this decision between, do I do the conventional or do I do the natural, right? You can choose whether to do the conventional treatments for cancer or not, right? That's always everybody's choice. But when is it ever a good idea to stop supporting the body and supporting its own ability, you know, your own immune system and its own ability to kill cancer cells? So in my mind, how I present it to patients is that you do whatever you feel led to do when it comes to conventional treatment, but let's get on the actual correcting of whatever the cause is, right? Rather than the medical focus of treating the symptom. And so, so it's either do both or do just the natural, but it never makes sense to do just the conventional medical treatment in my mind. As a clinician, it doesn't make any sense. And there was years, let me say this too, and this is where a lot of this comes from, is that there was years when, you know, when we would say like, hey, let's change your diet. Like back, you know, going back 15, 16 years ago, long before a lot of my exposure to cancer, be like, well, I can't help you with cancer, but I can help you with, you know, changing your diet and clearing your nervous system. Like, we can do those two things. And then people would come back and say, my oncologist said that I can eat ice cream every day for three meals a day, and it ain't going to make a difference with my cancer. And now I've heard that, and now that's changed a lot. Okay, that was like the standard response 15, 16 years ago. I would say in the last 5 years, it has gotten better in that we now co-manage cancer patients with local oncologists that love the work that we're doing. And, you know, they're supportive of the patients working with us. And we've even been referred some, you know, to work with because of the natural approach. Now they're doing the conventional stuff, obviously, where we're helping the patient be as healthy as they can while doing those treatments. And so things have definitely changed. However, as recently in the last 2 years, I'll say maybe the last year, I've had somebody say the same thing where they went and talked to who's considered to be one of the top oncologists in the Charlotte area. And a guy said, you can eat whatever you want and it can make a difference. And that's just, I don't get it. I don't understand that. I don't know why they would lie to people like that. I mean, we're not trying to create false hope here. We're trying to change the cellular environment, which we'll talk about more, you know, so that the person is actually moving towards health, whether it adds 3 months, you know, of quality time or a month of quality time with family, whether it adds 3 days, but the quality of the last days are better and they're lucid. And that's some of the stories when I say we have great, not every patient that we've ever worked with cancer is alive right now. However, one of the stories that gets me, we lost her. I mean, she passed away, but it's one of the most emotional stories. And I'm still friends with her husband on Facebook. And every time I see him in his life or whatever, I get choked up. But I'll never forget that he was kind of quiet in the whole process. He was always supportive, but kind of quiet. And she had an uncountable number of brain tumors and they were just like, we'll do whatever it takes. And she was having a hard time, like cognitively, right, communicating with her kids, her adult kids, and communicating with her husband. And, you know, that's devastating, right, to for someone to be your spouse of all those years, to be with you and not to be able to communicate like that. And so we started helping her, and she started getting better. And we started helping her more, and she started getting better. And ultimately, she lived 6 months past when she was supposed to, according to the medical doctors, which is great. But the big part is that she truly lived for 6 months. It was like she literally lived as a different woman, completely having relationship with her kids, her grandkids, and her husband until literally, I think he said, like, she didn't go back to the way that she was cognitively until maybe just 3 days before she passed at home. And so it was, the difference was she was going to live for maybe 3 months, but not really be living at all and zero relationship. She was losing her cognitive abilities and everything, versus she got an additional 5 months and 3 weeks at least of full-on relationship, loving on, live, you know, conversation. Can you imagine, you know, the conversations that were different because of that? Gosh, I love Bob. I love seeing him on Facebook and just seeing the life that he's living now. And he's so grateful. He'll reach out on Facebook every now and again and say, I'm still thankful for that time, you know, that we had with her. And so anyway, all that said, we don't treat cancer, but man, we can help the body work better and more like God intended. And the miracles come out of that. We're not responsible for any of it. We just remove the interference, whether it's physical, chemical, or even in some cases, because the physical and chemical, you know, emotional. And so the key here is, though, how does somebody make that decision? Is that they understand what it is. If you understand what it is, all of a sudden it's not so scary and it's not insurmountable, right? You start to realize that one of our mottos is participate in your own rescue. And you start to realize that with cancer is where people mostly think they can't participate in their own rescue, right? That they're just at the mercy of the cancer and the mercy of the treatment. But the truth is that you can absolutely participate in your own rescue, you know, when it comes to cancer. And I remember, and so just shifting that mindset and knowing what cancer is. So we'll talk a little more about that here in a second. But I remember when I would get on the phone for consults with Dr. Majors with cancer patients, or patients that had cancer, first thing he would say, he'd get on the phone, and he would say this simple question, and you could hear the air get sucked out of the room. It'd be a three-way call, and I could still, like, the silence was deafening, because he would say, are you okay living to 100 years old with this cancer? And in that, and there, it would just be complete silence for like 30 seconds, which feels like an eternity. And the reason why he would ask that is because he would immediately, in the first 5 seconds of them knowing him, wanted to shift their mindset. Like, they thought they were going to get on the call and some natural doctor was going to give them all these natural remedies to kill the cancer. And he was like, what if you could just live an amazing life for the next 40 years, regardless of your diagnosis? And it's like, in one question, all of a sudden people had hope. they shifted out of like this whole fear-based approach to things, you know, and it was, I remember after we did, you know, after we did 20 of these, I would just get so excited for the first question, you know, and I wanted to chime in. I had to stay silent, but I wanted to chime in and just be like, yeah, aren't you excited now? Right. That we can do something about this. And so first of all, the question is, are you okay living to 100, you know, with this diagnosis? And of course the patients was like, well, yeah, of course that's the whole goal, is to have some kind of quality of life in the time that I do have. And so right away, mindset is like, we always talk about mindset first. That's what he would do. Mindset first. And then we would talk about, a little bit more about understanding what, you know, what cancer was and all that stuff. I'm sorry. Then we would talk about what were the approaches to what do you do with it? And there's three things that typically you do with cancer. Again, this is according to, you know, Dr. Majors and what I've done with patients over the years, is the first thing is you want to try to do everything that you can to stop making it, right? And we'll talk about what that looks like and why that is with what cancer is here in a second. Then it's to kill it, and we don't participate in that at all. That is what the traditional medical approach is. They want to kill the cells, kill the cancer, and that's the second thing that you would do. So first of all, don't keep making it while you're trying to kill it. That doesn't make any sense. So stop making it as best you can, right? Change the cellular environment so that the cells quit adapting, et cetera. And then, you know, then do whatever you want medical intervention wise or natural, whatever it is, to try to kill off whatever has already formed. And then through the fact that you end up with cancer and the fact that you might be going through some kind of medical conventional treatments, we know that the immune system now either was or now definitely is depleted. So step three is rebuild the immune system. Stop making it, kill it, rebuild the immune system. And again, we don't participate in number two at all. That's medical treatment. And so so once people realize that, again, that they can live to 100 regardless of the diagnosis, that there's something they can do about it, and then it gets framed up in this idea of, okay, let's try to change our cellular environment over here to stop making it, and let's change our cellular environment over here to support our immune system. It gives us all something that we can be working on to live healthier, and ultimately, whether you've been diagnosed cancer or not, you can still do these things. And it's just very empowering to know there's something you can do to change the course of cancer in your body, right? Because we have heard the statistic over the years that, you know, everybody right now listening to this podcast has cancer cells floating through their body. The difference is they've been given, and it's a lower level, and they've been given an amazing immune system that can kill them off on a consistent basis. So the only difference is when there's interference, there's an overwhelm of the body in some way, or a deficiency in some way, some kind of interference with the body's ability to appropriately respond to the cells, do they then begin to accumulate and kind of, you know, become the cancer that people know and has become popularized. So before we dive into any more of what cancer is, any comments there, Bridget?
Well, I love that, you know, stop making it, so we can start off with the conversation about the environment, and mm-hmm. we'll probably give a good analogy on that. And then we can go into, rebuilding the immune system. So, how about an explanation of like a good definition of cancer or a cancer cell, and also how you identify how cancer is diagnosed?
Yeah, that's good. So, and I think that when we talk about what cancer is, the most modern, I guess, hypothesis that we subscribe to is, because again, it is a hypothesis. I mean, we can talk about it all day long, but there's no definitive, this is what it is. Simply put, I can use two words and say it's an adapted cell or an adapted group of cells. And then the question then becomes, okay, well, what caused it to adapt, and can I change that? That should be the next question anyway. That's the question that we would ask, is like, okay, if it's an adapted cell, then how did it adapt? What caused it to adapt, and can I change that, and will it adapt back, right? And so the idea is that cancer is a survival mechanism. So the new hypothesis is that cancer is a natural wound healing related process. So if the cause of the wound, or if the wound persists, that then continuous natural process will lead to a clinical cancer mass. And so, again, it's an adaptation of the body trying to do something to actually save you, which I know sounds crazy. And we're going to be teaching these kind of concepts and a lot more at our upcoming workshops and webinars. So make sure that if you're interested in learning more about this, you know, make sure that you show up to the office or hop on one of the webinars. But generally speaking, though, it's an adapted cell is the idea. And so if we can change the cellular environment, will it adapt back? And I don't think we can say 100% with certainty that it all adapts back, but we definitely have seen some incredible results. I just had a patient tell me earlier, as a matter of fact, maybe 3 hours ago, where when she changed, when she, hers was, it's a new patient. So this is not someone who's even done our stuff, but she said, when I changed all of my, when I changed my nutrition and detox properly for the first time, I went back and there were half as many, tumors. That was her exact words. She's like, they couldn't explain it. They said it was amazing. And I said, well, we know what it was, you know, and that's her story. I met this woman for the first time, you know, 3 hours ago. And so we're not the only people teaching this stuff, right? So but if you change the environment and if the environment being unhealthy causes a cell to adapt abnormally, then it begs that if we change the environment to be healthy, then the cell will adapt to be healthy. And so to be healthy again. And so anyway, anything to add to that before we go on?
You know, the one thing I just will reiterate, this is one of the taglines from Cancer Killers, but this impacts me, like how I take care of my health and how I make decisions and how I communicate with my patients. And that is, you know, the cause is the cure. And so you reference that and talking about, well, you know, what caused the cell to adapt. And so that's always, you know, that's the lens, you know, that we look through. And so we're always looking at, okay, so, is this toxicity? Is this insulin resistance? Is this trauma? Is this stress? Like what's going on? And a lot of times, you know, with cancer, it's multiple things that, you know, they create a perfect storm that come together. But once we identify the cause, then we know how to look for solutions and we can design a strategy around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And everything that we talk about, of course, should be consulted, right? We're going to talk about some general things that people can do, but if you're really serious about, you know, wanting to become a cancer killer, or you have it, you've been in your personal history or family history, you know, nothing supersedes actually having a one-on-one conversation with a clinician, someone who can coach you through the things that we're kind of touching on today. And then again, we'll go deeper with, later in the month, but anyway, so if you're going to, like when we're talking about, changing the cellular environment, then we have to start talking about things like nutrition, right? So everybody who's listening right now, they know that at some point we're going to talk about foods that are, you know, supportive in changing that environment. And everybody who's listening, we're going to say it anyway, just in case, but, you know, you're going to know things like bad fats are bad, right? You know, things that cause free radical damage. We've been hearing that for 20, 30 years now, 30 years, 30 plus years, maybe. You know, free radical damage leads to, you know, abnormal cell growth, right? So let's give people what they're expecting, you know, at first here. Let's talk about some of the nutritional changes that are expected if we want to change our environment in order to get those cells to adapt back to being healthy. So what are some of the top, I mean, we'll talk about a macro, I guess, and then dive into a little bit and go on to the next one. So what's your first thing that you would recommend from a nutritional standpoint?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is, you know, we have to remove the disruptive foods, like the foods that are creating inflammation, that are carcinogenic, that are creating toxicity. So my top five, what I'll call just for this purpose, carcinogenic foods. Number one is going to be sugar. I think everyone at this point, they understand that sugar feeds cancer. And so, so sugar in, you know, with that's going to be your table sugar, that, that's going to be like other sweeteners as well. So, but certainly the refined sugar, that we're going to find in our processed foods and so forth. My next one is dyes. And so this is a decision actually my husband and I made many years ago, is just like, you know, no M&M is going to come in our mouth as good as an M&M is because of the dyes. And so that's actually one of our rules is, you know, like that's a zero tolerance for us. I'll put it that way. Dr. Bagwell is, as you know, we talk about like the 80-20 rule and things like that, but even within that 20, There's zero tolerance for dyes and artificial sweeteners, which is the third one. And the fourth one is damaged oils. That's going to be like your canola oil, your soybean oil, corn oil, cottonseed, things like that. And then my last one, we have to include this, especially with the media attention it's received over the last couple of years, but is glyphosate. Unfortunately, glyphosate shows up in everything. I mean, even like your organic processed foods, and it's in our water supply and things like that. But that is something we need to be aware of. So glyphosate, for those of you who don't know, is the component in Roundup. So it's what like one of the like the pesticides and stuff that they spray our foods with.
That's so good. And again, we're going to go in other podcasts. Actually, we've talked about some of these things already, and because of the impact on health, we'll continue to talk about it in future podcasts. And we'll even elaborate more on it in future podcasts concerning cancer. But big, huge list right there. And this isn't even like the natural health opinion. This is stuff where you can look it up on NIH's website, right? You can look at the research that's been done. It's medical research, and it's very well known. And you mentioned, and so concerning food, my thought is, you know, one of my suggestions, of course, and our primary focus of any protocol that we write functional wise, and certainly for cancer, is that we got to fix the gut, because even when you're, if you're eating bad stuff, if stuff is getting in there, it's damaging the gut. Right. That's one thing. And then once the gut's damaged, then it can't do as good a job to help filter out and protect you against any future bad things. And at the same time, you're not going to break down and absorb and reassimilate the good things that you're eating. And so so food's important, but also obviously the synergy with a healthy gut is what makes, you know, bad food less bad and good food better. And not to mention the fact that when we talk about rebuilding your immune system, we have to heal the gut, because 80% of your immunity comes out of that gut. And the less healthy it is, obviously, the weaker we're going to be at fending off against anything that invades us, bacteria, virus, or otherwise. And so so to go with the food idea, you know, got to make sure that gut is healthy. Now, talk a little bit about foods. So we talked about things that you don't want to ingest because they're on the, you know, top five carcinogenic list. Talk about some of the top foods that can be supportive supportive of changing the cellular environment.
Yeah. So a couple things here. I do want to speak about, so one word we're going to learn today is angiogenesis. And so angiogenesis is going to be the formation of blood vessels, and that, you know, that may not sound too bad, but when you have a tumor forming, you don't want to have more of an infrastructure to support that tumor with oxygen and nutrients and so forth. And so we actually want to prevent the formation, that angiogenesis. So we want to look at, so it's amazing the research that has been done on angiogenesis over the years, and they formulated a list of angiogenic foods. And so I took this list, and I combed through it with my metabolic lens, because the thing is, you know, one of the root causes of cancer is metabolic in nature as well. Cancer is a metabolic disease. And so we have to look at insulin resistance, and we have to look at that environment. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm just going to give you those foods. So this is my, my clinically biased list of anti-angiogenic foods. And so when we look at our fruits, so these are foods to include, this is major, like cancer prevent, this is prevention. These are the foods that are going to nourish and support health and vitality and healing in your body. So berries, grapefruit, other citrus fruits like oranges and lemons as well, and apples. And then we look at some of our, like our vegetables. So kale, bok choy, maitake mushrooms, artichokes, sea cucumbers, red onions, some like additive foods, I guess. So dark chocolate, turmeric, ginseng, green tea, and nutmeg. I'm going to add in cinnamon in there, and then parsley and garlic. And this is an interesting one. So tuna is on the list. Olive oil is on the list. And so is pumpkin. So those are my top anti-angiogenic foods.
And I'll never forget when I watched, there's a TED Talk that you can search. You'll have to just use key terms. I don't remember which one exactly, but where the lead researcher for anti-angiogenic chemotherapies did a TED Talk. And this is the guy that was paid by however many drug companies to test the, you know, all of the different anti-angiogenic, you know, chemos that were out there to see which one was better, did a better job and all that. And it was just out of curiosity, if I remember correctly, his story, it was just out of curiosity that at the end, he was like, you know, all this talk about, and I think he was pretty anti a lot of what you just listed there and that natural approach to it. And he was like, I'm just going to test the compounds that we find in things like tomatoes or whatever. I'm just going to test supplements directly. And I'll never forget when he, at the TED Talk, I remember it was like, it was a list of chemo, as best I can describe this with my words, it's a list of all the chemos. And then when he said, now let's see where the foods and the supplements fell. And it's like the list of chemos kind of opened up and then the supplements and foods kind of slid in. And it was like, there were foods that were, I mean, a lot of the foods and supplements were outperforming the top medications that were given for the same thing. And he was just like, and I mean, it blew him away. Obviously, it blew me away when I saw the video. And hence, that's why he has his own TED Talk that's had like, you know, 100 million views or whatever. And I'll never forget that vitamin E itself, when tested against, you know, angiogenesis, was actually more, I think it was the number one thing on the whole list. I don't think there was any, I don't even think there was a synthetic thing that ranked above vitamin E as a whole. And so it just kind of ignited his understanding and his acceptance of the fact that, hey, like these supplements are legit. And so anyway,
It's Dr. William Lee. I saw it. So, okay. And I was like, oh, I was at the tip of my tongue. Dr. William Lee, L-I.
Good. Perfect. There you go. Loved it. Loved it. Great talk. And just awesome for opening yours or other people's eyes to, you know, to how powerful nutrition can really be in supplements and the right kinds, of course. Right. And that's the key there. But anyway, and let me just say this too, as a disclaimer, everything that we recommend is kind of general. Like there are certainly, while the majority of cancers are going to be anaerobic, there are certainly some that are aerobic, et cetera, et cetera. Some are going to respond better to sugar and worse to sugar and all that. We're talking about the high majority of the cancers that are out there and just general things that are really healthy across the board, for your body. So, the other big component, so heal the gut. And then the other big component and change the nutrition that goes into supporting healing the gut and, you know, anti-angiogenic and all that is we need to detox. And if you go to Johns Hopkins University, Columbia School of Medicine, you go to these different places, they will freely admit to you. I just printed it out for our workshop this month. I have a multi-page document from Johns Hopkins, one from Columbia. They'll freely tell you that the high majority of cancers, I've heard numbers as high as 95% of cancers, have their root causes. If we're talking about actual cause, in some type of toxicity in the body or something toxic at the cellular level, which again, it's just describing how the cellular environment actually is causing the cells to adapt. And so we've never done any supportive protocols for someone's body or immune system without doing some type of detox to help clear those things out that cause that cell to adapt abnormally. And so with that said, there are many different types of detoxes out there, and we don't promote any one for everybody. Okay. We used to do that. You know, some people respond better than others, whatever. This is where I get a little touchy and I prefer to, you know, actually have a consult where we can talk about your history. And now, right now in this office alone, we have three different ones that we use primarily, and each of those three gets adapted according to the patient's needs. And so I don't think that there's any one size fits all approach to detox, to true cellular detoxification. Let me say that, true cellular detoxification. Now, you can take some supplements that help support binding to toxicity. You can take some supplements that help support your bowel moving properly and getting those things out of your body. And those are things that we can recommend. So gut healing, changing nutrition, detoxification. And then one more thing that I would add is oxygenation. And those are major categories, right? These huge categories we're talking about, but they all add up to creating a different cellular environment that allows for the cells either to adapt to being more healthy or to slow them down from adapting to being unhealthy. And so the majority of cancers in the presence of oxygen don't do well. Okay. The majority of cancers when exposed to oxygen in a petri dish, or as evidenced in actual people that we've worked with, or obviously all the research that's out there, will tell you that when you oxygenate the tissue, and people are doing things like hyperbarics, you know, in this category as well, to drive oxygen to those cells more directly, and other types of biohacking and different modalities nowadays, because we realize that if you can saturate the cancer cells in the presence of oxygen, then you can cause them to adapt back and or even kill off some of the cancer cells. Anything to say about detox or oxygenation, Bridget?
Detox, everyone should detox. That should just be like a quarterly part of our wellness, in my opinion. And then for the oxygenation, two simple daily habits that you can do to oxygenate your tissue. Number one is exercise, and because maybe someone doesn't understand that. And then the second one is breathing exercises, and do some breathing routines. We have a couple that we do with patients in the office, and so simple tips there.
Yeah. And even the exercise thing can be simple and should be simple too. We're talking walking for 20 or 30 minutes. Like, we're not talking about you have to go do, you know, when we're talking the basics here, you know, we're talking about just go out for a walk and deep breathe. And that does oxygenate. It's unbelievable how many people are living hypoxic, right? I mean, they're just not breathing right. And so they're not getting oxygen to the tissue properly, and, or it's a strain on the body to get the oxygen to the tissue properly. So go for a walk and focus on actually breathing the way that you're supposed to. And you're already doing it, right? And we love keeping it simple. We love keeping it simple. And so so here's a suggestion. I was just going to go through a list of that I'm going to share. I have a bigger list here of all of the things that we're going to suggest at our upcoming workshop. But I want to go through the basics that I feel comfortable with everybody listening today. As far as what can you be doing on a daily and weekly basis in order to be able to move towards being a more effective cancer killer. And the first thing is gratitude journal. And this just goes back to getting into a health mindset, just to a mindset that's focused on being healthy. And of course, listen to other episodes if you want to hear about how stress causes cancer inside the body, or how it contributes to the cellular environment that leads to cancer. But gratitude journal, huge meditation, you know, on, and especially around this idea of thankfulness, is a huge step. Number one, right? Number two is, we're very passionate about making sure that your joints are moving the way that they're supposed to, so that your nervous system, and we're talking about spinal joints mainly, so that your nervous system can properly communicate from your brain to your organs, so that your immune system can work the way that it's supposed to, so those organs can work the way that they're supposed to, and so you can properly resist any formation of abnormality inside the body. So we recommend getting adjusted, if you're already getting adjusted, doing advanced spinal exercises to really maintain, have proper spinal hygiene. Okay. Nutritionally, we already talked about sugars. Reduce the sugars. If we're talking about just basic things, reduce the sugars, eliminate bad fats. Didn't get into the details too much about this, but the idea here is that bad fats actually calls for bad cell membranes, because those cell membranes are made of fat. And so when you have bad cell membranes, these double layers of fat that make up your cell membrane, then they can't let the toxicity out when you are exposed to the toxicity. So now it leads to autotoxicity, which is really what places like Hopkins are more referring to, is that autotoxicity that's happening inside the cell, because they're unhealthy cells. And one of the top ways that we make them unhealthy is eating those bad fats. So we want to eliminate those bad fats. The deep breathing we talked about, 50% of your body weight in water every day, staying hydrated. You cannot have healthy tissue if it's dehydrated. And then also, that's where we're deriving oxygen from that water as well. Intracellularly. And then the only other thing that we didn't talk about, but was a part of every protocol that we ever wrote, and this is just a good general, again, we get into more details if we're trying to actually make cancer killer related smoothies or juices and stuff, but it's the smoothies where you can have the most victory. This is a very practical recommendation, but it's the smoothies where you can have the most victory in getting in all the good stuff, right? And where you can take a basic smoothie and get in the healthy fats, the MCT oils or the coconut oils, right? You can get greens in there. You can get anti-angiogenic foods in there. Cause a lot of people will say, like, I don't like bok choy, right? Like, that's not my, you know, and I know that's another top anti-angiogenic food, and I don't like bok choy, but you know what? You can throw it in a smoothie and never taste it the way that it tastes cooked, or you can juice it and you don't even know that it's in the juice. I've done it for many times, and because people don't realize when it's not cooked, it doesn't taste the same. And so, so those smoothies and or juicing, if you should choose to do that, are fantastic ways to get the anti-angiogenic foods inside your body at a higher dose, along with, in the case of smoothies, supporting normal digestion and elimination of toxicity. So really, a smoothie becomes this incredible cancer-killing, practical, you know, experience every morning when you wake up. And so it doesn't, again, it doesn't have to be complicated. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about moving your body a little bit. We're talking about, you know, tweaking, you know, adding five foods and dropping, two different types of foods like bad fats and, processed sugars, right? This is stuff that people have heard about many times, but they haven't maybe made the connection until today of just how powerful it is to change your cellular environment and stop these cells as best we can naturally from adapting. Anything to add to what you might recommend for the basic tenets of just living a different lifestyle that would naturally change the cellular environment for the better?
I was really impacted by, and you'll have to remind me of the name of the study, but it was the cadaver study where they looked at, it was like the causes of death, and they looked at the neurology and how that linked. So for example, if someone had, kidney failure, or they had cancer of a left breast, and then the nerve that went to the left breast was the nerve that was compromised, and that really just because it was, I think the number, I think it was like in 100% of cases that the neurology lined up with the cause of death or the type of cancer or something. And so that's just a great reminder for me. Like the thing is with neurology is we don't necessarily like feel our neurology. We don't, certainly someone can have sciatica or like neck pain or something like that, but it's not something that's forefront of our mind, like for asymptomatic people. But I want to make sure that that I'm taking care, that I'm practicing spinal hygiene, basically, because that's part of our wellness and part of our preventative.
Yeah.
And healing.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the foundations of True Health, and those are the Windsor autopsies. And they were one of the most impactful studies they've been done 70 years ago now. It was at that time when so many chiropractors were saying like, hey, we can help this, we can help that. And so they cut open these cadavers and determined that, in fact, there was interference with the nerves connected to the cause of death. And his number published was, I hate to say these numbers because it almost sounds unreal, but his published numbers was 100% of the time. So you're right on with that. And it's why we see the miracles we see. And that's why also, you know, chiropractic and spinal hygiene, physical therapy, all that becomes part of the holistic solution to changing how your body functions, improving how your body functions, and changing that cellular environment. So I think that's going to do it for this episode of True Health Solutions Podcast. Thank you so much for joining in. Make sure that you make sure that you like the podcast so that it shows up in your feed more. Share it with whoever you think could benefit from understanding more about a different perspective on cancer. And we will be catching up with you next week. So anything you want to say, Bridget, before we check out?
Have a good week. See you next time.
Have a good week. We'll see you guys. Thanks for joining us today on True Health Solutions Podcast. Make sure that you click to subscribe. Also, go to our website, www.truehealthcharlotte.com, where you can download any resources related to today's show or any future shows. And lastly, if you search for True Health Center Group on Facebook, you'll be able to join our free health community. We look forward to seeing you there.